Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to catch up on legislation that passed during the last session, talk to our friends at the Paralyzed Veterans of America, and see what the Minnesota Patriot Guard has been doing this summer. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General John Jensen.
In April, we celebrate Earth Day, honoring our commitment to environmental preservation. With more than 13,000 service members and civilians working in 58 different communities across our great state, we have the potential to make a positive environmental impact. Just one example of our commitment is the 60-acre, 10-megawatt solar field now operational at Camp Ripley. Harnessing the power of the sun, this project produces enough energy to power the entire camp, earning Minnesota the Pentagon's Environmental Award for Natural Resources Conservation. The Camp Ripley Solar Project is just one of the many environmentally conscious efforts made by your Minnesota National Guard. Whether it's our renewable energy projects, wildlife management, or building new energy-efficient facilities, we're taking action to protect our shared environment, not just on Earth Day, but every day. For more information, please visit MinnesotaNationalGuard.org/environment. That's MinnesotaNationalGuard.org/environment.
Thank you, General Jensen. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is Representative Bob Detmer from the Minnesota House of Representatives, District 39A. And Bob, we just had you on the show for a few minutes a couple of weeks ago, but welcome back to the studio. And I'm looking forward to talking about all the things that happened at the session this year. But before we get to that, you served in the military.
That's right, Tom. United States Army Reserve for 25 years.
And your top rank was CW4.
Well, your warrant officer rank is always probably the best rank to have, from my experience. So talking to other people that have served, too, they've always seemed to come to check out the warrant officers to get information. So it's a great rank to have.
Now, you've got a couple of sons that are in the Army, too, and I'll bet they've got a different opinion on that rank.
That's right. I salute my sons. They have rank on me. They're lieutenant colonels now and West Point graduates, and they have 19 years in now. The years just flew by, and one is in the country of Turkey right now with NATO. He's a public affairs officer, and his twin brother is down in Fort Hood, Texas area. He's a battalion commander down there, military intelligence.
And they're both lieutenant colonels, so their careers are going quite well, it sounds like.
Yes, it is. But I tell them, though, Tom, that when they come home with the grandkids, we've got 8 grandkids, and when they come home with the grandkids, I tell them I'm commander-in-chief when their mom's not there. So we have a good time with that.
So you salute, yes. But mom doesn't have to do that.
That's right. That's right.
As it should be, Bob, as it should be. Now, how long have you been in the state legislature?
Well, this is my 7th term, so we're going on 14 years. So I tell people it's rewarding and challenging, and it can be frustrating at the same time, but it's an honor to be serving the people of Minnesota and the people of my district.
Bob, I've been over there and testified in front of those committees, and I think a lot of people think that you elect somebody, send them over to the state house, it's a piece of cake, it's easy. You sit in a lot of committee meetings, a lot of meetings. You put in a lot of hours on a lot of different topics.
And that's correct. You can't be an expert on everything, but they try to assign you to committees that you have some experience in. I've served also on the K-12 Education Finance Committee, and I'm currently the lead on the Veterans Committee. I've chaired the Veterans Committee in the past, and I tell when I was chair, when people came into the committee, I said, okay, they all introduced themselves. Some of them didn't have any military experience at all, but then I would point to the door, and they'd all look at the door and say, well, why is he pointing the door? I said, well, when you come into this committee, you leave your politics outside this committee, because we're dealing with military and veterans affairs issues, and it's nonpartisan. And they like that concept.
Well, Bob, it makes a lot of sense. You were a teacher and a coach for many years and also served in the military, and your boys are serving in the military. So those are things you know something about and have some interest in.
That's right.
So that's got to make it a little easier to put in all those hours sitting on those committees.
That's right. And again, it's something that people have asked me to be in that position. So you got to remember that you have to be a servant. If you're going to be in the legislature or in the military, or if you're elected to an office, you're a servant first. So you need to always keep that in the back of your mind.
Bob, a little later in the show today, we're going to have on the Paralyzed Veterans of America, part of the Commander's Task Force here in Minnesota. There are 9 federally chartered veteran service organizations that get together every year, and they work up some legislative initiatives that they want to work on in the next session. And they have a date over there called Veterans Day on the Hill. And I'm sure all of those veteran service organization folks come over and knock on your door.
It's unbelievable. The last 2 years, the attendance that we've had at Vets on the Hill. I know the DAV has been organizing it the last 2 years, and it was standing room only on the House floor, or excuse me, on the in the Capitol. And if you looked up in the Capitol in the rotunda, there was people standing all the way up to the third level. And they bust veterans in from all over the state of Minnesota, and it's a great time for veterans to get out and meet with their legislators.
Good opportunity for them to actually meet with their elected officials and talk about things that are of interest to them since they sacrificed in service in our country.
Well, one thing that we've learned in the veteran population, and this is something I've stressed, is that if we start speaking with one voice, you know, you have the 9 different veterans organizations and you have the different branches of the military. As soon as we started to speak with one voice a few years ago, things have started to happen in the legislature. And I think that's important that we all here to serve. And when you are go through training in the military, and when you are serving in the military, you are there to serve. And same in the legislature. And I told the different branches that came into the Capitol, if we start speaking one voice, things will happen.
We're speaking with Representative Bob Detmer from the Minnesota House of Representatives, District 39A, on Minnesota Military Radio. Bob, there's a number of things that we want to get to talk about what happened this year, but I know that the Commander's Task Force, their number one priority when they were in talking to me was there used to be an 8-year limit for a surviving spouse on a property tax exclusion, and 8 years after the veteran died, those spouses don't get a raise.
That's correct. And when I first came in the legislature, they only had 2 more years of that benefit. And then we increased it to 4 years, then 8 years. And finally, after several years now, we've been able to eliminate that 8-year, removing that 8-year limit on the surviving spouse tax exclusion on property tax. And so, there's another part of that bill that we're going to try to get through this coming session is And the DAV and also the counties support this, is that they want to allow a one-time transfer of that benefit to a smaller piece of property.
So they can downsize.
They can downsize, and the counties like this because it puts the higher-priced property back on the tax rolls.
And Bob, you had a great session this year. We're going to get some of those things. But as I recall, last year we changed the rule on taxation of retirement benefits for our military as well, so we could try to get those guys to stay home.
Well, that's the key thing. We finally got rid of the income tax on the veterans' pensions, and this happened a couple years ago. But finally now, the veterans, when they would like to come back to Minnesota and raise their families after their 20-year service, and now their pensions are not taxed anymore in the state tax and here in Minnesota. So that was a big, big thing. And I worked on it for about 10 years, and then people worked on it before that. So we finally got rid of it. It's always easy to start a tax, but it's hard to get rid of a tax.
And we studied that over in Wisconsin because they changed it some years ago, and it proved that they were money ahead, actually, having those people here, spending their money, living here, and being returning home.
And second careers. So it's an economic boost for our state, too.
Bob, another critical item this year is for all employers out there, you know that when we lose an employee, it costs a lot of money to train the next one in to take their spot.
That's right.
Same thing in the military. When we have people go in the military and we train them, it takes years to learn their jobs. If they get out too soon, then it costs a lot of money to retrain them. You passed some legislation for incentives for retention bonus program.
Well, that's important, too. As you mentioned, when somebody gets to a point in their career where they have to decide if they want to stay in the military or get a good job in the civilian world, we want to keep them in our military, keep them because of the amount of training that they've had, the leadership that they have now. So that was a good investment in our tax dollars, just to this incentive to stay with the state of Minnesota in the military.
And hopefully we can keep our best military service members in for a little longer and save some of that money, and then they can train the younger ones coming in.
Well, you figure if you're an E7, E8, whatever, or higher ranking officer, those are just your experiences, and you can be a mentor to other young people coming into the service.
Bob, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk more about a great legislative session this year. We're speaking with Bob Detmer from the Minnesota House of Representatives 39A on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking today with Bob Detmer, a member of the Minnesota House of Representatives from District 39A. He's a veteran, and he's got two boys in the military, lieutenant colonels, and having great careers. And he served as an educator and a coach, and now he's been in the state legislature since 2007, working on educational issues and also working on veterans issues. And Bob, one of the things that we've been seeing, and I know you've been to these deployment ceremonies and welcome home ceremonies, Minnesota National Guard has been right at the top of the training cycle. We just got back 700 soldiers or so from Kuwait from the division, our Red Bulls. We've had some 1st Brigade Combat Team members down in Texas training for a month, and we've got another 750 soldiers getting ready from the 34th ECAB to go over to Kuwait, and the Air National Guard is busy as well. And one of the things that Minnesota's known for is they put together this Yellow Ribbon Reintegration Program some years ago. And what that does is it helps the service members and their families reintegrate back into civilian life when they come back from all of these deployments. And it's critically important to help those families.
You know, that is money well spent by our legislature, the taxpayers funding this. And Minnesota can be a role model for other states. They've been looking at Minnesota, how we do our reintegration program for our veterans. People coming back from their active duty service and the Guard and Air National Guard. And so I think the last session we put in about $516,000 into this program to help reintegrate these men and women coming back. So it's well money spent. They need to, come back into our community and the civilian life. It's a big change from military to civilian life. So this is a good way to, and other states are looking at Minnesota.
And anyone who's served and been away from their family for 6 months, a year or longer, you know, things change when you're gone.
That's right.
And you've got to reacclimate yourself, and there's ways we can help them do that quicker. And so I'm thrilled to see that the state legislature has added some funds there. Another thing that came up this session was the Armed Force Service Center out at the Twin Cities International Airport. Everybody thinks of that as it's affiliated with others around the nation, but it's independent.
It's independent, and we've been working with them a few years now since I've come into the legislature, you know, getting new furniture for them and getting some funding for them. And now they are going to be moving their facility into the secure area of the airport, and they're going to triple the size of their space that they're going to have. And I know later on this fall they're going to have a grand opening for that. And if anybody out there has been in the military and have been deployed, had to fly out, you probably stopped by that service center. And it's just a great area for just to relax. They have some food there for you. And it's all volunteers, and these volunteers just do an outstanding job. And but now it's going to be in the secure area, which is more accessible to those that are waiting for their flights.
So the legislature this year provided some funding to help with that, and it was a much-needed upgrade.
Yeah, you know, we're looking at, I think the amount was about $100,000, and the airport's providing them the space, but they needed the funding to get everything into that space and also get all the equipment they needed, the furniture and so forth. And so it's going to be a great addition to the our service center.
They do a wonderful job out there, Bob, and we're talking to them. We're going to try to do a show from out there after the first of the year and see what the new digs look like. That'll be fun. Bob, one of the other things you did is the Minnesota Military Museum was working on some special exhibits, and one of them has to do with General John Vesey, and I understand you provided some funding for them as well.
Yes, I think we're looking at about $315,000 for the Arts and Culture Heritage Fund came for the to Camp Ripley area for that facility. Another $200,000 came from post 9/11 veterans exhibit, and $115,000 came from General John Vesey collection. So it's going to be a great addition to our military museum. I know they want to eventually get it off site so that it's more accessible to the public. And right now you have to go in into Camp Ripley to visit it. And by getting it off-site, it's going to be more accessible to the public.
It's a great museum for anybody that's up traveling the Brainerd Lakes area. If you get a rainy day, stop by the Camp Ripley and just tell them you want to go to the Minnesota Military Museum. You can spend all kinds of time in there looking at things. It's just fascinating.
Well, just out the outdoor displays of the aircraft and the different equipment that was used at different eras of our military. And then you can spend several hours right inside, too.
Bob, another issue that's coming up is most of our listeners know that we've got the USS Minnesota nuclear-powered attack submarine out on deployments, and it's in working. But we've got another ship being named after USS Minneapolis-St. Paul, and the legislature did some things to help with that.
That's right, and we're going to be very fortunate to have the commissioning ceremony right here in the state of Minnesota up in Duluth. So the Navy's going to bring the ship into the harbor there. And that's going to be sometime next year, next fall, around September, October timeframe. And it's just, I met with the Undersecretary of the Navy, and in fact, she is from Northfield, Minnesota. So it's going to be great for people to get up and see a ship like this, a military Navy ship.
And it's being built over on the east side of Wisconsin. If they finish the sea trials on time so they can get up to Duluth before the ice freezes, we'll be able to go up to a commissioning ceremony up there, and I'm sure I'll see you up there.
Oh, yeah.
We're speaking with Bob Detmer from the Minnesota House of Representatives, District 39A, and Minnesota Military Radio. Bob, we just got a few minutes left. I know you've got some things coming up.
Well, I know. Just recently, I was able to speak at the 34th Expeditionary Combat Aviation Brigade deployment ceremony. It was just incredible to see over 4,000 people show up for this deployment ceremony and at Grace Church in Edina. Also coming up this week on Thursday, the CTF Leadership Summit up at Camp Ripley. I'll be giving a presentation of the different pieces of legislation that we passed this year for the Commander's Task Force. Every year they have new leaders in the Commander's Task Force for those nine organizations, so we give them an update about the legislation.
They have a little training session up there where they figure out all the resources and who does what.
That's right.
We're going to be up there with Minnesota Military Radio,
too. You'll be up there, too.
Because we'll have them all on the show the next year.
And then the following day, I'll be at the University of Minnesota Stadium, TCF Bank, where we have a prisoner of war, MIA, recognition day, and I'll be giving a short speech there. And Jerry Kaiser is going to runs that program.
Crazy Jerry from the Honor Flights.
From the Honor Flights,
and he's coming on the show soon, so we can talk about the next Honor Flight coming up.
Yeah, what they're doing with our World War II veterans. My father's a World War II veteran. He's 96, and now the Korean War veterans. They're taking them over to Washington D.C. to see their memorials there. It's just unbelievable.
It's a long day, but the veterans love it. We went with them a couple of years ago and recorded a lot of interviews. It's a wonderful day, and you'd think they'd be tired. When they get home, they're still all fired up.
Well, the greeting that they get as they get over there and coming back is incredible. I was there for one night, and I happened to see a lady. She was probably in her 90s, standing over there, just kind of waiting. So I went over there and just introduced myself, and I said, are you waiting for somebody? She said, yes. I'm waiting for my husband, just like it did 75 years ago.
Oh,
and,
my.
That brought tears to my eyes. So
yeah, they do have just a wonderful day.
Yeah.
Jerry and his wife and that whole crew do a marvelous job on a long day, but they get to see all those memorials out in Washington, D.C., and it's a great trip.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Bob, I've just got about a little over a minute left. What else is coming up on your agenda?
Well, I think as a legislator, you leave yourself open for constituents to come into your office. So during the interim, a lot of times I'll get calls and I'll have them come down to my office, and also different agencies, organizations, cities, counties. They have some interest in some pieces of legislation. So what I'll do, I'll sit down in my office, have my staff come in and just listen to what their needs are. We'll take a look at the current statute and see how that applies to what they're asking for. And sometimes all we need to do is make a few changes in the statute to make it better. And that's one thing I enjoy doing as a legislator, is to listen to people and make the laws better and try to get them through.
September is Veterans Suicide Awareness Month. And I know why the legislature, it has designated the first Saturday of October as Veteran Suicide Awareness Day. We sure need to work on that hard to make sure that we don't lose any more veterans.
Well, that's right. And this is something that not just the general population, but our military population is something that we need to have people available there to just listen and to make sure that we don't just move them off to the side, because these men and women who have served really want to speak out. And many times we just got to give them the opportunity to do that.
Bob, you're doing some great work over there in the Minnesota House of Representatives. We always enjoy having you on the show, and we'll look forward to talking to you to see what's coming up in the next session, because I'm sure you're going to be talking to the Commander's Task Force about that.
That's correct. That's correct.
Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Tom.
This is Bob Detmer from the Minnesota House of Representatives, District 39A. Please stay with us. When we come back, we're going to meet our friends from the Paralyzed Veterans of America and see what their initiatives have been recently. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to talk to our friends from the Paralyzed Veterans of America. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now, here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
The Minnesota Commander's Task Force, or CTF, is made up of 9 congressionally chartered veterans service organizations here in Minnesota. They include the American Legion, Veterans of Foreign Wars, Disabled American Veterans, Vietnam Veterans of America, Military Order of the Purple Heart, Marine Corps League, AMVETS, Jewish War Veterans, and the Paralyzed Veterans of America. The CTF acts as a single voice for veterans of Minnesota. They meet monthly to discuss the issues affecting veterans and their families and facilitate communication among veteran service organizations. The CTF promotes legislative initiatives and represents veterans and their families on the Hill. The CTF is also an advisory board to me, and for that I am very grateful. I look forward to working with the commanders in the upcoming year.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now are the President and Vice President of the Paralyzed Veterans of America here in Minnesota, Ken Klein and Todd Kemmery. Gentlemen, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom. Good to be back.
Well, it's always great to have you in the studio, Ken, but then this Marine keeps following you around, and Todd comes wheeling in here, starts breaking stuff.
I can't
like
get rid of him.
A bad penny,
he says. Ken, we just heard a message from Commissioner Herkey about the Commander's Task Force, and he named them all off, but the last one was you. You guys got to start moving up that list.
Well, we were the last one to be inducted into the committee, so that's probably why we're at the bottom of the list.
Actually, we may be the last and the smallest organization, but we feel we have the largest impact.
There's no doubt in my mind that you have. Todd, you have a huge impact wherever you go.
Absolutely.
But this is family radio, so we got to be nice. Ken, tell us about Paralyzed Veterans of America and how many members you have here in Minnesota.
Right now, we have approximately 350 members in the state of Minnesota, and we office out of the VA hospital in Minneapolis.
And I know that since I've gotten to know you guys over the last few years, your members are busy guys and gals. I mean, you're out there doing stuff all the time.
We do have a lot of activities going on, from membership meetings to outings, picnics, and we offer tickets to the Twins, the Vikings, and the Wild, and they're used by a lot of our members and stuff. Just gets them out into the community.
And just like every other veteran, you guys like to go shooting, too.
Well,
especially you, Mr. Ken.
Yeah, I didn't bring that up, but yes, we do. We have a trap shoot team that shoots every Monday morning in Metro Gun Club, and then we also participate in 3 or 4 national events around the country.
Todd, seems like a great organization, and I enjoy every time we have you on the show, but there's a serious side here, too. You guys, as long as I've known you, act like you can do anything, which is great, but some of your members need a personal care attendant, and there's some issues around that.
Yeah, thank you, Tom. So for this legislative season, we're asking the state of Minnesota to reform their PCA, personal care attendant, the way they do business here in Minnesota. So we basically what we'd like to do is to be able to have some reform due to staffing shortages in Minnesota and low PCA payment rates. We need to have qualified people and people that want to be able to help out, but be able to have a wage that also provides them a means to make a living at it.
So what we're talking about here is some of your members actually need a personal care attendant just to deal with everyday items,
so,
everyday issues?
Yes, Tom. Thank you. And this isn't just a veterans issue. Any family that has had to deal with MS or Alzheimer's or dementia understands what a personal care attendant does. And for those people that need constant care, that's what a personal care attendant does. They come in and help dress, bathe. If there's catheters or medical processes, that's what a personal care attendant helps with.
Now, is there any help available in Minnesota to help pay for the personal care attendants? Does the state help with that?
The state does have the means to help pay for that. And there are different agencies out there that help with that. For example, the Metropolitan Center for Independent Living, the ARC of Minnesota, the Minnesota Disability Law Center is one of our advocates for the legislative part of it, but Minnesota Home Care Association and Minnesota First Provider, as well as Paralyzed Veterans America, are together trying to push some reform through.
So we're going to have some issues in front of the state legislature this year?
That is true.
Ken?
Just to emphasize the importance of this, the average salary for a PCA or a personal care attendant is $11.78. And you can go down to McDonald's or Burger King or wherever make $13, $14, $15 an hour. Keeping good people is very, very hard. And with the shortage of with jobs around the state of Minnesota and stuff, these people are realizing that they don't need to come into somebody's house and look at somebody in a wheelchair and say, my God, I'm going to have to transfer this guy. And it's a very difficult job. And we just need to get that reform passed and get the salaries up to where they need to be.
It's got to be hard work, Ken. One of my first jobs was as an orderly in a nursing home, and I understand what you're saying, helping people get in and out of bed, yep. Clean them up, do all the things. There's some dirty work there, and there's easier jobs for more pay.
Yeah.
So we need to do some work on this. We're speaking with Ken Klein and Todd Kemery from Paralyzed Veterans of America on Minnesota Military Radio. Gentlemen, I know that there's a training session coming up at Camp Ripley. All the veteran service organizations, or most of them, have new commanders and new officers every year. Of course, we got Ken back and we got Todd back. Isn't there anybody over there that wants to replace you guys? No, you don't have to answer that. But it's the annual training where you go up to Camp Ripley. The Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs comes in and they teach all those new commanders all the resources. It's a pretty interesting event, isn't it?
Well, I won't be going this year. Todd's going to be going along with another member of our organization and stuff. So they'll be going up there tomorrow.
And of course, you get to know each other because the Commander's Task Force then has monthly meetings and starts working on some legislative initiatives, such as Personal Care Attendant Reform Coalition.
That's right, Tom. I believe it's a positive that we have a team that does legislative work year after year. There's no learning curve. We know what happened last year during this session. And, of course, we'll be presenting to the CTF commanders up there our initiative this year with PCA reform.
So in those monthly meetings, you talk about the different items that might be out there and try to focus in on five or six of your most important initiatives for this year and then take them up to the Hill. And, of course, we have an event called Veterans Day on the Hill. It's been pretty exciting the last few years.
It has been. So the amount of, especially on the outstate, of veterans' families and veterans themselves that come to that event is growing by leaps and bounds every year. So it's just a testament to how effective and successful that we have been.
So if all the veteran service organizations pool together all of their membership and go up in unison to the Hill, then those state legislatures listen. And we just had Bob Detmer on the first half of the show today, and it sounded like you had a great session this year.
We did.
Ken, last time you were on, you talked about a new event you were having this year. Did that happen, or is that still coming together?
It just concluded, actually, last weekend.
How'd it go? What was it?
It was phenomenal. I mean, we were up in Brainerd. We had a membership meeting, but we also got an opportunity to again trap shoot and other various events up there. And then we had a fundraiser. The people up in Brainerd opened up their arms to us and stuff, and it was spectacular. It was a great event, and now we're going to meet next month and plan for next year again.
So how many people got a chance to get out?
Oh, I would say we probably had there 30 or 40 people there.
They had a great time up there, I'm sure.
Yeah. I went from 10 in the morning until, what, 6 at night, so yeah, it was a good time.
And you were you out working the event, or did you get
well, to I did a little of, I did a little work, but I enjoyed the shooting more.
Todd shaking his head. No, the president was out shooting. What? Why is he so hesitant? Every veteran likes to go out and shoot, don't they, Todd?
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, he's a little nervous about that. Are we getting you in trouble, Ken?
I hope not.
No, we're not.
He's the president.
You're the president. After these many years, you're not in trouble. Gentlemen, we got to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk about a couple other items of importance to our paralyzed veterans of Minnesota. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been visiting today with our friends from Paralyzed Veterans of America, Ken Klein and Todd Kemmery. And we want to start out with Todd. I understand that you've got some U of University of Minnesota medical students out visiting the VA. What's going on?
So, yes, thank you, Tom. This is our fifth year that we've been involved with the Spinal Cord Injury Center. They bring second-year medical students, doctors, to come into and do a tour of the Spinal Cord Injury Center. And part of that tour is a brief 20-minute stop at the Paralyzed Veterans of America office, and we're able to talk about what our relationship is with our caregivers there at the SCI Center, Spinal Cord Injury. And so it turned out to be a collaboration that that has turned very successful, and we just started last week with our fifth season at doing this.
So the goal is to get those medical students interested in helping spinal cord injury patients?
Absolutely. Now, not all doctors are going to want to go into, they have their own specialties that they want to go into, but part of the exposure is that it doesn't take a whole lot to become SCI aware or spinal cord injury aware, and that's what the point on part of that is. We need doctors, and we need our caregivers to know about spinal cord injury, and this is just one way of helping bring more people into caring.
So, Todd, have you been participating in those events?
Absolutely. So, I get to hear myself talk.
I'm thinking, now, this Marine has to be on his best behavior because we're trying to attract doctors, not chase them away.
I try not to do my best impression of being a drill instructor, but, yes, we want to we want to be able to tell them what the advantages is and how they can be helpful.
Ken, I just can't help but pick on a Marine. You know, it's we just got to do it, don't we?
Yeah, but they're so easy to pick on.
Well, but they love it, too. Look at him smiling. But I'm assuming he did a pretty good job with those students.
He does. Sometimes I'm in the office when they come in and stuff, and Todd's talking about the PVA. He talks about how important it is for their knowledge of spinal cord injury and what it takes to take care of a spinal cord injury patient. So Todd does a real good job.
And for those doctors, it's got to be really rewarding to help people that really need some help to get back on their feet and find a new normal.
Well, the doctors that we presently have in the SCI Center are just spectacular, and they know how to take care of us, and that's really important.
Ken, we got to keep moving on here. What is Patient Education Night?
We instituted the PVA along with the recreational therapists and stuff. We instituted a patient's education night at the second Wednesday of every month. And what we do is we bring in speakers, and we bring in pizza, we bring in soda for the inpatients, PVA members that want to come in. It's about an hour and a half long session where we talk about things that pertain to spinal cord injury. For instance, traveling. How do you go about traveling with a spinal cord injury and stuff? So some of these sessions are fun. Some of them are educational and stuff, and we get a good turnout.
Todd, I want to come back to you. I've asked you this before, but there's people out there running around maybe at the state fair, out at the airport, and they see someone in a wheelchair, and without thinking, they just go up and start pushing the chair or start doing something. That's not the right protocol, is it? You're proud veterans. You're proud paralyzed veterans. If we see someone, what should they do if you want to help?
So anybody would be appreciative of any sort of help, and the disabled community is no different than that. However, before you do anything, as with any person that is seeking help or is offering help, is to ask first. If you startle somebody and create a stressful moment, then that's not benefiting anybody. So if you see somebody struggling or you feel that you are compelled to give a hand or lend a hand, then go ahead and approach that person and ask first. And they'll be able to tell you immediately, yes or no.
So it's all about respect and say, sir, you need any help? And
absolutely.
You say, you're a Marine, you say, no, go away. And we say, okay, have fun. It won't be that way. You'll be courteous.
No,
I know
no,
you
we're,
will.
We're very gracious, and we're for myself, I always thank the person for asking. And then if I need the help, then I'll say, yeah, you could do this for me, or thanks, I think I got it.
Very good. Just wanted to mention that to our listeners. If you do see someone and you're inclined to help, ask them if they need any help. And if not, just tell them, well, thank you, and move on and be good that way. Ken, we just got about 30, 40 seconds left. Do you have more events coming up?
Well, we do. We back in June, I just want to go back a little bit. We had our annual picnic at the VA, and we served over 200 meals, which was, I think, an all-time record for us and stuff. It's for inpatients, it's for PVA members, and it's for the staff that works at the SCI. Also, next October 5th, I believe it is, we have our annual banquet that we're going to be inviting all of our members to and stuff, and that's kind of our gala for the year. And, of course, then we'll repeat, instead of the picnic, it's going to be the Christmas luncheon that we'll be doing in December.
Very good. You guys are busy as usual, and I appreciate you taking your time to come down to the studio and visit us today. It's always a pleasure, and we'll look forward to seeing you you up north at the training, Todd. And
yes.
Ken, maybe we'll get you down for the Christmas CTF Christmas show.
Sounds good. I'll be there.
Thanks, gentlemen.
Thank you, Tom.
It's Ken Klein and Todd Kemmery from Paralyzed Veterans of America. Joining me now from the flight line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard is Tim Leonhardt. Tim, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom.
Tim, we've been on the road a lot this summer doing state fair shows and all kinds of things.
Yeah.
It's good to finally have you back in the studio.
Well,
I see you're wearing a different cap.
Well, this is my riding one. This is the one I wear when I ride.
Oh, it's not the hat of courage. It's the old hat of courage.
The old hat of courage.
All right. Well, how's things going for the Minnesota Patriot Guard?
Good. They're always good.
Well, it's one of your favorite missions had to have come up recently because we got over 700 soldiers back from the 34th Infantry Division Red Bulls.
Yes.
So it's a welcome home.
It is, and they're awesome. They're the most awesome thing to ever go to.
And then right after that, now we're sending another 700 soldiers back out. The 34th ECAB is going.
Yep.
So the departure ceremony, they're just coming and going. It's pretty busy, isn't it?
They are.
So the Minnesota Patriot Guard riders. Are you always looking for new riders?
We are. We're always looking for riders. And you don't need to be on a motorcycle either. We're just looking for the riders. That's what our name is.
So I can come in my cage.
You can come in a cage. You can come in a bus. You can come walking. You can, well, however you want to get there. We're welcoming anybody that can come out there.
Just get there, and all you need is a good heart and a flag?
Yep, 3x5 flag.
And a pole?
In a pole.
And find the ride captain, and he'll tell you what to do.
Yep. When you sign up, just let the ride captain know that you're new, and he'll get you going.
And some of these missions, especially when we're burying some of our service members, get a little emotional. So a pair of dark glasses is
that
okay.
That comes in very handy.
All right. How many years you been doing this now, Tim?
Oh, since 2006.
Quite a while. So
quite a while.
A lot of missions.
Yep.
And have you been out to Fort Snelling lately?
Oh, we go out to Fort Snelling all the time. Our mission load is probably 80% out at Fort Snelling. And that's a place to go. If you have an hour to spend, go out there. We're usually in staging area A, and the cemetery personnel leads us out to the shelter. and we stand there and do our honor, dignity, and respect for the fallen, and you would that's where you need the sunglasses.
Well, that's where you get your training. Just go do that first.
Oh yeah, that would be awesome.
All right, now Tim, there's another event coming up a couple times a year. There's a thing called the Honor Flight.
Yes.
Where Jerry Kaiser takes World War II and Korean veterans, and they go out to Washington, D.C. for a day, and then they come home. And a lot of times, Minnesota Patriot Guard is there to welcome them home.
Oh, yes. And that's a fun one. That's really fun. You watch these gentlemen getting off the plane, and it's just like they're getting home from World War II or Korea or wherever they're coming in, and they're just smiling from ear to ear. And we're just standing there giving them the honor, dignity, and respect that they deserved.
Yeah, we went on an honor flight a couple of years ago just to go with them and do some interviews. I thought when on the way home they'd sleep. There was no sleeping.
No.
They're all fired up and all excited.
Yes.
And they don't really know the welcoming they're going to get at the airport. And that's coming up next month. So
it is.
Pay attention. We're going to have Jerry Kaiser on the show next week or the week after.
Good.
And we'll give you the details and when and where that's going to be. Just a few seconds left, Tim. You had the Patriot ride this year.
Yep.
How many motorcycles show?
Well, it looks like about 5,400.
So you had another big event.
Big event.
Out at the Anoka County Airport.
Yes.
And it was a great event for families. And if you haven't heard all of those motorcycles start up all at once, you got to go there.
It is cool.
Well, Tim, we're just about out of time. Once again, I'd like to thank you and all the Minnesota Patriot Guard riders for all you do, going to the funerals and the welcome homes and the going away missions. Keep up the good work, sir.
It's our honor.
It was Tim Leonhardt from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Representative Bob Detmer, Ken Klein and Todd Kemery from Paralyzed Veterans of America, Tim Leonhardt from the Minnesota Patriot Guard, Commissioner Larry Herkey of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. Please join us next week as we talk about Minnesota's newest state veteran cemetery and learn about another honor flight for our World War II and Korean veterans. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.